Hey listeners, Chloe here. If you need to stay as up to date with the latest developments and innovations in the luxury industry as I do, you need to dive into Vogue Business. It's your ticket to a global perspective on fashion and beauty, delivering exclusive insights that will give you the edge in this competitive, dynamic industry. Just visit VogueBusiness.com today and use the code RUN20 at checkout to join the Vogue Business community. That's VogueBusiness.com, promo code RUN20. Don't miss out. This is The Run-Through. I'm Chloe Mel.
And I'm Cho Minardi. And this is episode one in our New York Fashion Week Shark Week.
No, 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 no. How many shark puns can I make in 1 week?
Oh!
Yes, starting today, we've got 7 episodes covering all things New York Fashion Week, plus some of the most exciting moments from the October issue of Vogue, things that you will only hear here. We have designers, models, writers, pop stars, and more.
Yes. And speaking of designers and models, last night everybody was at that Victoria's Secret party. And, you know, It was no secret. And it's also no secret that they've undergone a rebrand. So they've been collaborating with people like designer Supriya Lele and model Paloma Elsesser, both of whom were on our show.
I know. And you were the first person who told me about Supriya. I wasn't familiar with her work, but it's so beautiful. And it was so much fun to talk to her and Paloma, who collaborated for Victoria's Secret together.
Yeah.
Her work, it's very bodycon, but also pays homage to her Southeast Asian roots. And it's sexy and revealing, but also quite thoughtful and has amazing draping. And there's a lot going on in the best way.
Yeah, I love her work. And it was cool to hear that Paloma had kind of discovered her work and then ended up walking for her show.
Yeah.
And so they have a real, you know, friendship, which is cool.
We kicked off the conversation asking her a bit about her style.
How would you describe your aesthetic, you know, to someone who doesn't know what the clothes look like?
So I'd probably say that obviously my work is very much inspired by my Indian heritage, but also my English upbringing, and it is this sort of intersection between the two cultures that I like to explore. But I like to take these Indian tropes and kind of make them quite subversive. It's quite minimal. I like to think it's quite chic. I play a lot with color and sheerness of fabrics, and I think, you know, and a lot of draping. So that's kind of always the kind of core of what I do. But then I love to sort of juxtapose that alongside more kind of subversive elements, you know, which could be like rubber fabrications in outerwear or more kind of European-centered dress codes.
Do you guys wear lingerie yourselves, or are you more tidy-whitey kind of ladies, or what are we sleeping in?
Paloma, tell us.
Undress with us.
I am pretty simple. I think, unfortunately, because of the nature of my job, I can only wear like one color underwear constantly. So that's kind of what fills my entire underwear drawer.
Is that black?
No, they're nude.
Nude. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, they're all color flesh toned, right?
Yeah, it's so annoying. But also, so then oppositely, when I can wear underwear for like my own pleasure, which are a departure from those kind of like plasticky ones, I won't say the name, I just feel like I like the uniform of lingerie. I like cotton, a breathable material for the punani and all the things. But seriously, like, I keep it really straightforward because I think I didn't really get to have the like the experience. And then obviously, because working with VS, I do get to have the experience in wearing these like really expressive, like exciting things. And then I just like put my sweatpants back on. So yeah, I'm pretty simple if you ask me. And I love a granny panty.
Same. I love having a uniform underneath because I'm not the kind of person who has a uniform, you know, to the outside world. So it's nice just to have the same pair of same drawers, same cotton drawers, not being too crazy. Well, I mean, I'm interested, you know, obviously how you felt, Paloma, when you were approached by VS. What was your reaction when you were approached and what made you decide to be like, yeah, I'm going to be a VS girl now?
Well, I think most of all, I think it was a point in my career where I felt that I was being invited into conversations. So obviously, I don't know if people, because I think he likes being a little bit mysterious, but I have to call out Raul, the big boss at BS now.
Raul really Martinez, like, who used to be the creative director at Vogue.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So I'm like, last name, first, whatever.
He's the Wizard of Oz. He's behind the curtain, but we can call him out.
Who's also very instrumental in my career at Vogue. Mm-hmm. So initially, before Raul had signed on, I had been a little bit, if not a lot of bit, hesitant to being a part of this new VS pasture. I had been asked at the time, I was working with another lingerie brand pretty intimately. So I was like, I'm okay.
No pun intended.
Exactly. So when Raul called me, not only because I just respect him as, you know, the positions that he's held in the industry for so long, but as a human being and as a person who's been fundamental in my own career, I was like, of course, I want to hear this person. I trust this person. So in that first initial conversation, I was able also to call out a lot of my grievances and my critiques of the historic brand and the ways in which I wanted and needed it to change and for me to participate. I don't know if many models are granted that same opportunity, you know, to like have meetings with designers and CMOs and CFOs and speak so intimately to a creative director. And then when the show came up, actually, funnily enough, the first thing I ever said to in my first meeting with Victoria's Secret, namely Raul and everybody, was like, I don't want to walk down a runway in wings and lingerie. That was funny when I started hearing like whispers or whatever. And Raul, which I just think is indicative of his own integrity and how he really wants to help usher Victoria's Secret into this new age, was it was like, hey, can me, you, Mina, my agent, who's super involved as well, and designers and some people on the creative team walk through this new VS show. And it's not going to be, and he even remembered being like, and it's not going to be this thing, this nightmare that you said you would never do. And not to say it's a nightmare. I'm just like, I'm pretty like outspoken and actually like extroverted, but I'm also quite shy and like easily embarrassed by certain things. Mm. And so I don't think it's like that surprising that no one wants to walk down a runway and they're in a thong. Like,
and
you know
wings.
What I mean?
And wings.
And wings. And I respect to the icons who came before us who did it. I'm sure some people are going to really want the old thing, but there's something very exciting and quite brave to stand in the face of that and try something really, really different and really new.
Paloma, what is your, I mean, you've worn many outfits because that's what you do. What level of, what state of undress feels the most authentic for you?
I don't know. Something I really appreciate about my job is that I get to explore like other parts of myself. I think there's been a very like prescriptive version of way that like plus size bodies are viewed and seen. I remember when I first did the Copernic show, I mean, I don't know if I would actually wear like a tiny neon top, but it was actually very radical for them to put me in that top and a pair of pants. Mm. I never wear pants for shows, ever.
Really?
I wear pants. I never wear pants.
Wow.
They never put girls in pants. Wow. Start paying attention. Start looking.
I am going to pay attention. I actually, you're right. It's usually a dress.
A knit dress.
A knit dress.
Or a jacket, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So putting me in black trousers and a tiny neon top. Yeah, like I would wear that in real life separately of that, but it also
was... You looked amazing, by the way. That was a great show.
Yeah, it was a good show, you know? What's really exciting when I've done Supriya's show, like wearing a mini skirt and wearing kind of these layers and these ways and also just being invited into the process.
Yeah, no, I mean, you have such a fantastic style and, you know... Paloma happens to be a judge on the CFDA Vogue Fashion Fund. And
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and her insights are always so, like, incredibly spot on. I mean, I think any designer who gets to work with you should use your eyes as well as your amazing presence and body and, you know, beauty. But do you find that's beginning to happen? Because I do think that, like, you know your body best, right? So people should be asking more questions to you about, well, what feels good for you and how would you do this and how would you approach this?
I think as women or people, but especially as models, where it's like, I think anyone of any size definitely should be asked and like consenting to a certain degree for sure.
Supriya, was it helpful asking Paloma?
Yeah, I mean, every time I've worked with Paloma, I feel that we've had like a very open and honest dialogue about what, you know, what you like, whether you like your look that I would thought of that you, you know, that I thought would look good on you, or perhaps you would prefer something to be different, you know, fit and feeling, those two things. Like, you're, you know, you're working, you're collaborating with somebody who is, you know, you want them to feel really amazing when they're wearing those pieces, right? So when, you know, when they're walking down the runway, they look incredible and feel good.
Do you think things have changed in the time that you've been a model? Because you've been a model for a while now.
I've been a model for 9 years.
Yeah. Like, gosh.
Eight. Yeah. It's really crazy. So I think there has been a lot of changes. I definitely have kind of general critiques of post-COVID response to kind of just the nature of like disposal and obviously our propensity towards thinness again. And unfortunately, in this industry and in our industry, it's still a risk to use any kind of marginalized body.
Do you think that the sort of last 6 months to a year of feeling like the fashion industry has gotten so thin again and everyone on Ozempic, do you think that's affected the way the strides that had been made about different body types in the industry?
For sure. I mean, I think that it's mainly like there's always been actually majority people, I think, who didn't want there to be change. Mm-hmm. And that's just the truth. Because despite having like been around for a while, there's still a lot of opportunities that let me and models like me haven't had or even been afforded or even conceived of being afforded,
right?
You know? So it actually, the onus isn't really on, of course, like changing people's minds. It's about those that were like down for it as it was happening, like doubling down,
right?
You know, because it's really not, it's not a collective belief. Like, unfortunately, it's really sad, but I've always known that.
Right.
I've always known that it's like an uphill battle. I've always known that most people in this industry don't want to see that change happen. You know, I took off shows last season and it was very felt. I got a lot of messages about
it was felt. It was last season. It felt like,
Yeah.
I remember you saying to me, Choma, that like, that was a big takeaway. The model, like the runways were small and thin.
Yeah.
That's a shame. It's such a shame.
Yeah. I mean, I'm coming back this season.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And so good luck with Fashion Month.
I think I see you tomorrow.
I see you tomorrow. I know. We're going to be seeing a lot of each other in the next few days. We're doing studio visits with the
designers.
That's
fun.
Yeah, and
I feel like that's the most fun part.
Brings her car and her car. She drives.
You drive there? Choma's making like the motion of a steering wheel right now. Like,
I'm never in someone's car. I'm always like, oh my God, I'm not in an Uber. I'm actually in Paloma's car.
I like the idea of Paloma being the fashion fund Uber driver.
She really does. She drives to all the things. We have a whole list to do, and then it's quite fun.
I do. Honestly, I also drive to like shows when I'm in New York.
Really? You drive to shows? What about parking?
Sometimes I just park illegally.
That's
such
everything.
A baller move to just be like, ticket be gone.
Just gets it's glass, but then sometimes I don't. But yes, I'll see you tomorrow, Choma. And thank you guys so much.
Thanks. All right. Excited to see what you decided to see the show and everything.
Wait, Choma, my favorite part of the interview was Paloma telling us that she is your personal Uber driver for the CFDA Fashion Fund.
Well, she's a good driver. You know, the next day she
Does she just like roll up at your block and honk for you to come down?
Well, what we usually do is we'll meet at the first appointment. So we met at the first appointment in Queens and then we just did all the rounds and So
what do you guys listen to?
I think we were chatting more than we were listening to music. We were just catching
up. I'm imagining James Corden like Carpool Karaoke, like the two of you just belting.
It's hard finding parking, but she's a good driver.
parallel parks in the city? That's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, there were some car parks involved, but yeah. She almost got a ticket at the end.
Okay.
But we got
that's all good days end.
The Run Pro will be back in just a moment.
Beep beep.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emma Shagormley.
We are two best friends with one common obsession.
Beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful. We tried it all and we've got your back. We'll be calling on all our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions. Consider us your beauty 411 and sometimes your 911.
From how to fix brassy hair
to the pros and cons of laser facials
and always with a cocktail in hand.
Always. So be prepared to be obsessed. Check out Lipstick on the Rim wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? Maybe a chef-grade range made you want to hone your cooking skills, or a high-tech tennis racket made you want to work on your backhand. I recently bought a new pair of running shoes, and that made me love hitting the pavement again. Well, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
So, New York Fashion Week, well, New York Fashion Month, where you basically go to shows in London, Milan, Paris, and you start here. It's such a sprint. It is exhausting. But I can't imagine doing it as a model.
I mean, it's...
I really can't.
Everyone who thinks that being a model is glamorous, I do not think they understand the hours and... Whew. And the heels involved.
The heels. I know. The band-aids that get you through.
Yeah, it's sort of like being
nights,
a professional ballerina.
Yeah. There's a lot of stamina involved.
Yeah.
I think physical and mental stamina. And yeah. So we wanted to talk to Jill Courtlev. She's Dutch. And she just was so refreshing and cool and real, you know?
Yeah.
And I think unlike a lot of the models you meet, she sort of had a life before modeling.
Yeah.
So she has quite an interesting story.
Great. Well, I can't wait to hear.
Will you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jill Courtlev. I'm an Amsterdam-based model, working, living life, you know, enjoying life.
So... are you from Amsterdam or where did you grow up? Tell us a little bit about where you grew up. Because I remember we spoke a while back.
So I grew up in the south of Holland, a small town. I mean, it's considered a city in the Netherlands, but I think it's quite a small town. Yeah, and I lived there until I was 17. I always knew I wanted to leave the town because it was, I don't know, I always wanted more, I guess, than having a small town girl life, which is interesting now that I've done more. Now I'm like, oh, right. I loved it. I love the small town girl life. You know what I mean?
Right. Recently, you were on the cover with Paloma, Elsessa, Precious mm-hmm, Lee, mm-hmm. and the cover of British Vogue. And the tagline was the new supers, which I thought was yeah. amazing. Like, what was that experience like? Tell us about that whole process.
I got the option mm-hmm. for this job and I was like, and options are like brands requesting right. you for a job. So I got the option and I was like, oh, you know, let's see. Like, this is so exciting. This is insane. But let's see if I even get confirmed.
Right.
Well, little did I know I got confirmed. You know, Paloma immediately called me like the day after, I think. She was just like, oh my God, isn't this like insane? So we talked about it for a bit. And I don't know, I'm just happy to have shared it with Paloma Precious. It was just such a good day on set and felt just like really easy and comfortable and like a safe space, you know. We got like so many positive comments I don't know. And it's just nice to see that you can really like inspire people and what it does to, a community.
Well, tell me a little bit what Fashion Month looks like for you. Because you walk some of the biggest brands like Chanel, Alexander McQueen. Like how demanding is Fashion Month for you?
It depends a bit. So, of course, it starts with New York, and then I always still have a lot of energy, and I'm kind of excited that it's all happening. You know, on one hand, I'm lucky. Like, I walk a lot of shows, but if you compare me to, like, a straight-size model, I don't walk that many shows. So right. in that way, I can think like, oh, I'm kind of lucky to not really walk that many shows. So I actually have time for myself and like to take a step back in between shows. But on the other hand, obviously, there's a reason I'm not working as much as the other girls because, you know, not a lot of high fashion brands still include size diversity.
Do you think that's changed since you started? I mean, or do you think some people are saying there's been some backsliding? Some people.
I mean, at one point it changed a little. Like I walked first two seasons, or three, whatever, only for McQueen, and then you know it became more and more and more. But also like some brands I walked for a couple seasons ago now don't use midsize plus size anymore.
Wow.
So yeah, I do feel like at one point it was kind of changing into. To the positive, but it's also going backwards again. But yeah, unfortunately, I feel like it's all trend related, you know? And I mean, obviously that's the worst. Like how can sizing be trend related? It's
kind
of
ludicrous.
Disgusting.
How can
yeah.
any kind of inclusivity be trend based?
But and especially like now you can really see it's trend based because it's also like going downhill again.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I just think I was talking with somebody about it too. You know, we can have all these conversations, but in the end, it's going to be this, it's because of the sample sizing. Mm. And if, like, you know, there's not going to be more like diverse sample sizing, it's going to be hard to change quickly. Mm. But yeah, how do we change the sample sizing?
It seems like to me, like it's systemic, you know. You know, and some designers will say, well, we can't afford to make the samples range.
Yeah.
And it just seems like that sounds lazy to me, but I'm also not a designer.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but then you can, I don't know, have a crazy show in I don't know what country. You know what I mean? I guess it's all about budgets.
Yes.
Budgeting.
Yes.
No, but it's an important conversation to have, but it's also a difficult one, I think. Like,
Especially when you're one of very few models who are in that position.
I talked about this in the interview as well of the Supers cover. You know, I'm still below average size.
Right.
So it's not that I ever had a problem that I was walking into a store and couldn't find my size or, you know, whatever. Like, I never had, like, these issues. So then sometimes I also feel like I'm not necessarily allowed to talk about it, but, like...
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think also the term midsize, it's so new.
Yeah.
And I think we always... There was, for a long time, it was either kind of curve model or plus size, depending on which label you find more appealing.
Hmm.
And there was nothing in between.
No, exactly. So then, especially when I was called a plus size model, that's when I got like a lot of negative comments towards me. And then I was also thinking like, that's not really fair. It's not like I put this label on myself. It's the industry that's putting it on me. So like, all the haters on the internet, please back off, you know.
Please
like,
back off.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm not trying to do something wrong or hurt people. I'm actually, like, trying to not necessarily help, but, yeah, like, change it into a better direction. Ideally, you would just want to be called a model. Like,
yes,
everybody,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we're all
exactly.
just don't. Models.
Exactly. But anyway, moving on from that quite tricky conversation
for
you.
Yeah, all of a sudden, like,
I mean... You know, I'm wondering kind of like what the self-care look like for you now. Sounds like being in Amsterdam is a part of your well-being. Like being
very much.
Because like, you're making that sacrifice to travel, but being somewhere where you feel truly at home and truly good in your own skin, right?
Yeah, exactly. And apparently it's really, like, I never realized how important it is to me to be that close to my friends and family. Like, obviously, I always knew I loved them, but, like, living in a different country made me realize, oh, no, I really want to be closer to them. Mm. And I think that helps. Whenever I'm home in between jobs, like, in between jobs, I always try to go home. Once I'm home, I try to have a routine. I notice that the older I get, the more I appreciate a good routine, you know, like getting up, going to the gym, like grabbing my coffee at my favorite coffee place, whatever. And then I just try to like hang out with my friends and family most. Mm. Or like what I really love to do back home is just like fixing stuff in the house, you know, like be a little handyman and like, oh, I wanted to hang these like portraits or paintings. I do that. Or like, tomorrow or in 2 days, there's a closet going to be delivered to my place, and then I'm gone and just can't wait to like decorate it and like, you know, set it in my living room and like go to the vintage stores, and it's a vintage closet as well, and then like buy little knickknacks and like decorating, you know, like really do stuff for me that's really outside of fashion that really helps me.
So it's all about work-life balance for you.
Yeah.
How would you describe your summer style and what are you thinking of getting into for fall?
Like, I have no idea. I just like go in with an open mind and see what happens in the when I'm there. I never really have a plan about how I'm going to style myself. I just go along the way. And I mean, internet and TikTok, it's a great inspiration, to be honest.
Really?
I think it's so cute, you know, like everybody making outfit TikToks, and I don't know, I think it's nice.
Are
I think it's
TikTok?
Fun. I'm 30 and I love TikTok. Embarrassing.
I love that. I mean, when I met you, you were 26, right? I mean, it's considered older for a model, which seems absurd because 30 to me seems like a baby. But I mean, it must be also nice to have that maturity and have a bit of, you know, being able to navigate this world and this industry. And when you're having people maybe make comments, you know, like being so visible, you know.
I can't even imagine what it would be like being 16 and starting in this industry. It's so overwhelming, even for like an adult. I'm like, oof.
We're so grateful that you were able to make some time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming, Jill.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of The Run Through.
The Run Through of Vogue is a production of Condé Nast Entertainment.
The show is produced by Susie Lechtenberg, Chelsea Daniel, and Alex John Burns. It's engineered by Jake Loomis and Gabe Quiroga and mixed by Mike Kutchman.
See you soon.
Bye.
Hi, we're Carlene and Jill, hosts of Breaking Beauty Podcast, the show all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. On our show, you're going to find hella inspiring guests like Emily Weiss of Glossier, and you'll get beauty tips galore from the top pros in the industry, like Kim Kardashian's makeup guru, and you'll hear skincare secrets from the likes of Dr. Pimple Popper. Plus, you'll get shopping help with our Damn Goods episodes, where we review the latest products hitting store shelves to let you know what's actually worth your money. Listen every Wednesday to Breaking Beauty Podcast.